So in the first verse of today's gospel, we heard, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And so in this detail of the painting by Lucas the Elder, you see there Christ lifted up. But notice out in the distance in the lower right-hand corner of this image, you see Moses depicted lifting up the serpent on a pole. If you remember that story, poisonous serpents had infected the camp, and so God called Moses to create a brass serpent on a pole, and everyone who looked upon it was cured and saved from death. The artist wanted to visually represent how that moment in the Old Testament was a prefiguration of Christ being lifted up so that everyone who looked upon him and believed in him would be saved from eternal death. In order to appreciate the redemption Christ won for us, we need to realize the eternal death from which he saved us. Right? Just like with any thing that we appreciate, appreciating anything we have in life, we need to remember life before those things. For example, it's much easier for people who are well-to-do to appreciate more fully what they have now if they were once homeless or wondering where their next meal was going to come from. We can better appreciate abundance when we have experienced poverty beforehand. And of course, I'm not speaking merely in financial or material terms. In fact, we know that money can't buy happiness. There are a lot of materially rich people who are miserable, and there are a lot of materially poor people who are happy because they are rich in what matters most. Right? And whether we are rich or poor materially, or somewhere in between, it's this richer kind of life that Jesus calls us to, that Jesus wants for us, that we are rich in what matters most, that we are rich in what brings us meaning and purpose, and not fleeting pleasures, but in perduring and abiding joy. You know, amidst all the bling of the consumerism that's incessantly, placed in front of us, and the allure of a comfortable life where we have a remote everything, God says, you know, it might be nice, but that's not the meaning of life. And yet, we make it out to be that so many times, right? So much of our world makes that the meaning of their lives. And it totally misses us out on the true purpose of our life, because God calls us to something higher. Pope Emeritus Benedict said it like this: Christ did not promise an easy life. Those who desire comforts have dialed the wrong number. Rather, he shows us the way to great things, the good, toward an authentic human life. And in an often confused world, we might think, well, what are those great things? What is an authentically human life? You know, the rulers of this world have brainwashed us into thinking it's whatever you want it to be. It doesn't matter as long as you're doing what you want to do. Right? But we know that simply can't be, because we live in an interdependent reality. We live in an interrelational world where your actions affect the lives of others. Right? Larry Nassar, that supposed USA gymnastics doctor, did what he wanted to do. Harry Weinstein did what he wanted to do. ISIS is doing what they want to do. King Jong-un is doing what he wants to do. That porn producer is doing what he wants to do. And that adulterous husband or wife is doing what they want to do. And guess what? In all those instances, lives are broken because people are doing what they want to do. Lives are shattered. And it's often the children in their lives that suffer the most. You know, the most common thread that runs through the lives of these mass killers, these shooters, an absent dad or an abusive dad. Their dads were doing what they wanted to do instead of doing what all parents are supposed to do, right? To sacrifice their lives and do everything in their power to equip their children to live a life of heroic virtue, to know, love, and serve the God for whom they were created. I mean, there's a lot of folks walking around in our world today that have no idea for what they were created, for whom they were created. St. Paul says in that second reading, we were dead in our transgressions. Because our society flaunts this do whatever you want to do worldview, we're dying in our transgressions. As the folks in the first reading were as well, right? But St. Paul says this observation in the context of a very hopeful message. Remember what I said in the beginning, in order to appreciate what we have now, we need to realize from where we've come. And so what else does St. Paul say? It says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, and all this crazy stuff, even though our society is dying, and all, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. You know, even amidst the strife and division of today, that should give us hope, great hope, brothers and sisters, that even when we were dead in our transgressions, God brought us to life with Christ. That summarizes the good news, doesn't it? That verse. And that also the famous verse that we heard in the gospel today, because it included John 3:16. That too is a great summary, encapsulation. Everything is summarized, the gospel is summarized in that one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We have a God that doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. So much so that he's willing to suffer our self-condemnation in our place so that we may live. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, Jesus brings us back to life, and he can bring the people around us back to life again. He can bring lonely individuals, broken marriages, hurting families back to life again. And guess who the instruments that God has selected for to bring this message to the world, to lift up Christ so that everyone might look upon him. It's you and me, right? The church. In the last two Fridays, as part of our Grow and Go series, Joseph and Crystal Gruber have given the first two of three talks, Win, Build, and Send, on how more effectively to bring that good news to those around us. The first talk was on win two Fridays ago, and that was an introduction to more winsome ways of sharing the good news and the importance of authentic friendships that's built on trust. The second was on build, second talk. And that was an introduction to the life of virtue. You know, Jesus attracted people even more by his life than he did with his words, because his life put flesh on the words that he preached. He lived a selfless and sacrificial life for the people around him that was holy and heroic. It was attractive and inspirational. And so one of the best ways that you and I can share the good news and do the work of evangelization is through an attractive, inspirational life of virtue that Jesus lived. To live selflessly and sacrificially, to live holy and heroic lives, to live attractive and inspirational lives. Such a life of virtue will stand out all the more in these days where so many are so self-absorbed, that those lives will shine, will radiate, and people will begin to think, you know what, I'm tired of this empty and bitter life. I want what Susie's got. I want what John's got. I want what my mom and dad have. I want what my own son and daughter have that I don't. So that's build. We want to build up in us and also build up in our brothers and sisters in Christ lives of heroic virtue. And this could, it's not what we do, it's how we do it, how inspirationally we live. We just had that beatification, right, at Ford Field for a simple priest who couldn't even pass his theology classes. Blessed Solanus Casey. Here we are decades and decades later celebrating the life of a doorman, basically, right? And people from all over the country went to Ford Field in honor of him. His life radiated Christ by being a doorman. And so in this Friday's talk on send, The Grubers will give us a vision of spiritual multiplication, what winning and building up our own selves and others looks like over time, and how that leads to transformed lives by which Jesus Christ makes himself present in this world and thus transformed communities, right? You can go to this talk even if you haven't been to either of the first two. It's 6 p.m. this Friday at the Parish Center. Finally, I mentioned earlier the importance of marriages and families for our society. The family is the fundamental cell of society. And so if that basic cell is unhealthy, then society as a whole, the greater body, will be healthy if that fundamental cell is unhealthy, right? We've seen what's happened with our young people. Many of our young people lack direction, discipline, and purpose because what? Why? The breakdown of the family. And we've seen the devastation that unhealthy ways of trying to cope with those difficult situations, life struggles, such as drugs and all the vices that have ruined lives, when they don't know the reality to which they can turn, that transformative power of God to which they can turn. I mean, our youth are growing up without going to church. They don't know that there is a God to turn to, right? It's dramatically declined church attendance. Drug overdoses have become a very serious problem here in Jackson, right? Because people are looking for a way to cope. And so when time came for our senior leadership team to establish a thematic goal for our parish, that is a certain focus that we want to have in 2018, is to answer the question of what can we do to better reach out and support God's people in living out more fully their vocation to marriage and family. Our pastoral council took up the question head on, and they came up with a survey. Shane Slough here came up with a survey. And John Dulock had this tuition voucher to encourage parents to take part in the survey, and we had a response of over 80 parents, nearly 90. One of the things it asked was why they may not be going to Sunday Mass. And by far, it was because, you know, sports schedules and other activities. So in other words, our parents are not seeing the value that the life of a practicing Catholic has for them and for their family. They think sports rather than God as a better use of their Sunday. Now, it may be because their aspirations are what the world is telling them to strive for rather than what God is saying. That is, if they even believe in God. But how are they to aspire for anything different if they don't witness in their family members and friends who are practicing Catholics the game-changing difference it makes, that their faith makes in their lives, that their intimate relationship with God is what animates them to live inspirational lives of virtue? Or at least they're not making the connection that your inspirational life of virtue is directly related to your relationship with God, because ironically, we're too hesitant to talk about the most important thing in our life. And so hopefully you see why we emphasize going to faith formation events that Todd Gale's team offers, and why we're so blessed to be able to get a grant to have the Grubers, Joseph and Crystal, with us, to all of this to provide that spiritual training in the life of virtue and the deepening of our relationship with God that we all need, that our society needs, so as to reveal to the world around us that God has not abandoned us, but on the contrary, he's done the most marvelous thing imaginable. He's given us himself in Christ Jesus, who in suffering our death brings us back to life.